Well, Israel, Palestine, and the Middle East more generally will be just one of the foreign policy issues facing the next U.S. president, although what issues they need to face is part of the question. Many would have the U.S. stop seeing issues for itself in other countries around the world. But rather than talk about candidates' various positions, I wanted to ask you to share a vision, to talk about what a foreign or international engagement that honored human rights, that honored human beings, could look like. What to you are some of the key elements of such a policy?
What a concept. A foreign policy that is based on human rights. It's something that we haven't seen here for a very, very long time. We don't see it from too many other countries either, we should be clear, but we live in this country, so it's particularly important for us.
Right.
I would say there's about five components to what that kind of a foreign policy, what the core principles of such a policy could look like. Number one, reject the notion that U.S. military and economic domination around the world is the raison d'etre of having a foreign policy. Instead, understand that foreign policy has to be grounded in global cooperation, human rights, as you said, Janine, respect for international law, privileging diplomacy over war, and real diplomacy, meaning a strategy that says diplomatic engagement is what we do instead of going to war, not to provide political cover to go to war, as the U.S. has so often relied on diplomacy. And that means a number of changes, very explicit ones. It means recognizing that there is no military solution to terrorism, and therefore we have to end the so-called global war on terror. Recognize that the militarization of foreign policy in places like Africa, where the Africa Command pretty much controls all of U.S. foreign policy towards Africa, that has to be reversed. Those things together, rejecting military and economic domination, that's number one. Number two means recognizing how what the U.S. has created in a war economy has so distorted our society at home. And that means commit to changing that by cutting the military budget massively. The military budget today is about $737 billion. It's an unfathomable number. And we need that money certainly at home. We need it for dealing with the pandemic. We need it for health care and education and a Green New Deal. And internationally, we need it for a diplomatic surge. We need it for humanitarian and reconstruction aid and assistance to people who have already been devastated by U.S. wars and sanctions. We need it for refugees. We need it for Medicare for All. And we need it to change what the Pentagon does so it stops killing people. You know, we could start with the 10% cut that Bernie Sanders introduced in Congress. We would support that. We would support the call from the People Over Pentagon campaign that says we should cut $200 billion. We would support that. And we would support what my institute, the Institute for Policy Studies, and the Poor People's Campaign call for, which is to cut $350 billion, cut half the military budget. We'd still be safer. So all of that is number two.
Right.
Number three, foreign policy has to acknowledge that U.S. actions in the past, military actions, economic actions, climate actions, are very much at the center of what is the driving force displacing people all around the globe. And we have a moral as well as a legal obligation under international law to therefore take the lead in providing humanitarian support, in providing refuge for all those displaced people. So it means that immigration and refugee rights have to be central to a human rights-based foreign policy. Number four, recognize that the power of U.S. empire to dominate international relations all around the world has led to the privileging of war over diplomacy, again, all around the world on a global scale. It has created a vast and invasive network of more than 800 military bases around the world that are destroying the environment and communities all around the world, and it's militarized foreign policy. And all of that needs to be reversed. Power should not be the basis for our international relations. And last, and maybe the most important and the hardest, foreign policy of this country has to reject U.S. exceptionalism. We have to get over the notion that we are somehow better than everybody else, and therefore we are entitled to whatever we want in the world, to destroy whatever we want in the world, to take whatever we think we need in the world. It means that international military and economic efforts in general that have been historically aimed at controlling resources, at imposing U.S. domination and control, that has to end. And instead, we need an alternative. We need a new kind of internationalism that's designed to prevent and to solve crises that rise from, well, certainly right now, from the current and potential wars, until we manage to change the foreign policy. We need to promote real nuclear disarmament for everybody on all sides of the political divides. We have to come up with climate solutions, which is a global problem. We have to deal with poverty as a global problem. We have to deal with protecting refugees as a global problem. All of these are serious global problems that require a whole different kind of global interaction than we've ever had. And that means rejecting the notion that we are exceptional and better and different and the shining city on the hill. We are not shining. We're not up the hill. And we are creating enormous challenges for people that are living all around the world.
Vision is so critical. It's not frivolous at all. It's so important to have something to look toward, you know, especially at a time when dissatisfaction with the status quo is the only place of agreement for many people.